Hello, and welcome to Median News. Median News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. On my podcast over the last few months, I have been looking at the history of the criminalization of the PKK and the Kurdish movement in different countries in Europe, the UK, Germany, Belgium, and France, for example. Yet there is one country in Europe important in the history of the criminalization of the Kurds that you may not guess or know about if you are relatively new to the Kurdish issue, where 36 years ago this month, there was an extraordinary political crime that, as well as being a national tragedy for Sweden, the Scandinavian country where it happened, also turned out to have serious consequences that would be instrumental in criminalizing the PKK and the Kurds in Europe, and which has had a long-lasting negative effect on the political efforts of the Kurdish People's Movement to try to achieve a peaceful and political settlement to the long and painful conflict between Turkey and the PKK that originated as a result of the policies that established the modern state of Turkey, which denied the Kurdish people's culture, identity, and language, and criminalized any resistance by the Kurds against these racist forced assimilation policies. And so, on the night of the 28th of February, 1986, the then Social Democratic Prime Minister of Sweden, Olof Palme, loved and by the left and hated by the right in equal measure, then aged 59, was shot in the back and killed at close range in a busy street in central Stockholm after going to the theatre with his wife. A very long and very controversial investigation, which was riddled with mistakes, bungles, and incompetency, began, and 25 years later, in the year 2000, the Swedish prosecutor named the man who they believed to have killed Olof Palme as Stig Engström, a graphic designer known as the Skandia Man, because he worked at a nearby Skandia insurance company building, who had, in fact, killed himself in that in the same year, to the year 2000. For those who would like to know a little bit more about this particular aspect of the case, and it is fascinating, you can watch a very good film called The Unlikely Murderer on Netflix about the story of the main suspect in the Olof Palme assassination, Stig Engström. But during the investigation, and according to the imprisoned Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan, indeed, even just before the assassination, there was a lot of intelligence chatter and attention placed on the PKK by international and Swedish intelligence agencies, who would eventually, for a while at least, place the PKK as the prime suspect for the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister. Abdullah Öcalan would say 10 years later in 1996, in an interview on the Kurdish TV station MedTV regarding the Olof Palme assassination and the criminalization of the Kurds in Europe, he said, "As I said, Turkish Interior Minister Mustafa Kalemli and the German Interior Minister signed an agreement to oppose the Kurdish liberation movement across Europe. Reagan, Thatcher, and Kohl held their hands over this agreement. With the murder of Olof Palme, a Kurdish track was invented, and suddenly all Kurds were guilty. Support for the Kurdish freedom struggle waned, and PKK persecutions began. A witch hunt began. All Kurds are blacklisted, all the Kurds are terrorists, and since then, the persecutions have continued," he said. And so, accordingly, many Kurdish activists see the origins of the criminalization of the Kurds in Europe in the way that intelligence agencies used the assassination of Olof Palme, a man who actually supported national liberation movements and the Kurdish struggle for rights, as a way to criminalize and limit support for the growing Kurdish movement in Europe at the time. And so, with these thoughts in mind, I'm very pleased and very honored to be joined today to discuss these issues around the criminalization of the PKK and the Kurds, beginning in 1986 after the assassination of Olof Palme up to today, by Håkan Svennelling, a member of parliament for the Swedish Left Party, I believe the third largest party of the Swedish parliament, I understand. And again, I believe that Håkan is a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, and Speaker of the Left Party's Foreign Affairs. He is, according to my research, against the labelling and criminalisation of the Kurdish struggle and has been involved in initiatives, which we hope to hear about, to decriminalise the PKK so as to look for ways to find a peaceful and political solution to the Kurdish question. So welcome to Media News, Håkan Svenneling.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us time today to talk about these issues. If I can begin then, Håkan, with the first question. So in the anniversary month of the 36th anniversary of the assassination of Olof Palme, can you, from your own perspective, please tell us what you know about the Olof Palme assassination in Stockholm in February 1986 and how it was instrumental in criminalizing the PKK and the Kurdish movement in Europe?
So I was living in Stockholm at the time of the murder, but I was only 6 months old. So I used to say that I one of the subject suspects because I was born. But I mean, there's so many suspects in this trial to find the murder of Olof Palme during the years. But the PKK track that was invented by a police chief named Hans Holmér is one of the most famous tracks in the investigation. And as you mentioned, we don't know today if Stig Engström is the real murderer, but he is probably the murderer the Swedish court system has decided. And I mean, one of the reasons that they didn't find him when he was alive and they could have done a thorough investigation was because of the PKK track and the idea that PKK was involved. And there were no evidence at all when you look at it. It's so much material and pages and papers and so on, but no one has actually found any real facts. But at the time, it suited the police chief, Hans Holmér. He was like a media figure in Sweden at the time, and he wanted a story that was splashing the society and the media, and was, if the camera lights was on him, everything was good for him. He didn't care about finding a murderer, I think.
But, I mean, it had such enormous consequences, didn't it, for many members of the Kurdish community. So perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about that. And also,
absolutely.
Do you give any sort of weight to the sort of theory that that there were people who, you know, influenced Swedish intelligence? Or indeed, do you think that this could have been carried out with the aim to criminalize the Kurds? Do you think that's a possibility?
I mean, a lot of Kurds was detained and followed during these years of investigation on the PKK track. It was the main, after a year of the assassination, this was the main track that the police investigation followed for a very long time. And then they invented other hardly unreal
credible
to follow, but it meant that lots of Kurds were in prison, interrogated and so on, and it made, I think, for many people who talk about the time, a mistrust between Kurds in Sweden and to the police and the state in Sweden. And I think that mistrust is still there in many cases for many people who was affected by it. And of course, I mean, this was a assassination of a prime minister. Of course, it had international connections. And of course, people tried to take contact with the Swedish investigators. So one of the things was that the police chief was very close connected to the government. The government didn't want to interfere in the investigation, but they gave him free hands in the way that wasn't good, and they didn't follow protocol in the sense that they should do. And therefore, a lot of mistakes were done in the investigation.
And lots of pressure presumably could have been put on such a person to follow, you know, particular suggestions or leads. For example, Turkish intelligence could have been feeding him, I guess.
It's possible. We doesn't have any proof for it, but it's absolutely possible. And I mean, that's another thing in this scandal that needs to be looked into, I think.
So what is the, I mean, Sweden, whenever I think of Sweden, I always think of, it's a popular sort of country of exile for Kurdish intellectuals and Kurdish activists, hasn't it been over the years? I kind of think about that Sweden is like the capital of the Kurdish intelligentsia type thing. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. In some ways, I mean, we have a very large Turkish diaspora, and lots of people are engaged in the Kurdish issue in Sweden. Therefore, and I mean, I have lots of Kurdish friends, and lots of my people in my constituency are from Kurdish origin and so on. So the Kurdish role in Sweden is very clear today, and the Kurds are very well integrated. I mean, lots of people have normal jobs and live normal lives, and in many ways, when you talk to the younger generation, not all of them are so interesting in the Kurdish thing. They think it feels like Swedes and are more focusing on the regular Swedish life with what we used to call a house, a Volvo, and a dog. I think that's quite typical for Kurdish people in Sweden today.
Of course, and probably all over Europe. Politically, though, I mean, in the UK, the history of the criminalization of the Kurdish movement by the British government has been very subtle. It's been very, you know, they have never actually, you know, if they are saying that the PKK is a terrorist organization, they have never brought anybody to court and had a trial and bring their evidence about it. It just takes the form usually of harassment of members of the Kurdish community, of raids on houses, and just general harassment of the Kurdish community, of people, activists who are actually involved in campaigning to raise awareness of the Kurdish issue and support for the Kurdish issue. How is it in Sweden?
Yeah, we saw a lot of that sort of harassment during the PKK track in the investigation of the murder of Olof Palme. But since then, it was a period where not so much harassment was made from the state. But what we have seen the last, I think, like 3 years, is that the harassment has increased, and especially to people that need to have permit to stay here in Sweden. And if they are not the Swedish membership, if they need to apply for that or for a permit in some case, they are scrutinized in a way that it wasn't 5-10 years ago. And they ask questions to people that are really hard to understand. And I read a transcription of one of the interviews with one of the applicants, and I was like, I'm not going to pass this test. I'm Swedish. I have contacts with this group. I have met Selahattin Demirtas, tried to reach him in prison, and I have contacts with all this. And this is regular opposition politicians, and they are not terrorists in that case. So what we see now is we have a very divided state in that sense, that the Swedish government said that it support HDP, that they see HDP as a sister party, and they're pro-Kurdish in many ways. But at the same time, you see the police, especially the security police, SÄPO, doing investigations against Kurds and stopping them from getting permission here in Sweden every day. And this, we have tried to brought it up in a political discussion. It's a little bit hard to get into the media, but we feel that the pressure is increasing all the time. And the last count that I heard is 38 persons that have been harassed, more even deported from Sweden due to these cases.
Gosh. Håkan, I believe that you are involved in initiatives to decriminalize the Kurdish movement and the PKK, so as to be able to look for ways to find a peaceful and political solution to the Kurdish question. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your work in that department?
Absolutely. It starts with a decision at our Congress in 2016. At the Left Party Congress. And that's because the Kurdish is a part of our party. So they put in a motion to the Congress that says that we need a decision that we doesn't want to criminalize PKK. And that motion was getting favored. And we have a new Congress this week. So it's very, it's been some years since, and it was in charge. After that, we as a party has tried to raise the question many times, and I'm cooperating with other abroad and try to make international initiatives, but I also try to put pressure on the Swedish government. In many cases, we have a good relationship with the Social Democratic government, which is the same party as Olof Palme was representing, but when it comes to the labeling of PKK, they are like a wall. They don't want to talk about it. They doesn't like the question at all. They just say it's an EU question. We doesn't have anything to do with it and so on. So if I'm quite happy of the policies in many ways, this is a point where I'm really not satisfied with the position from the foreign minister. And we debated this last week, so recently.
I can imagine. But of course, there is an increased campaign to push for decriminalization of the PKK, to try to find a lasting settlement to the Kurdish issue. And you'll probably know about the Belgium case, where really the first time that all the, you know, arguments were brought out in a court, and it was more or less laughed at of court by the Belgium Supreme Court, who said that the PKK are not a terrorist organization, that they are a party to a conflict between the Turkish government and the PKK. And there's another case, I believe, that is ongoing from a lawyer's team in Holland, which I think is going to be coming up soon as well. So there is a fresh push. And on the anniversary, the 36th anniversary of the assassination of Olof Palme, as a Swedish MP, what would be your message to your European colleagues in relation to the campaign to decriminalize the PKK and the Kurdish issue, so as to finally be able to open this way to a peaceful political solution to the Kurdish question?
It's to keep pushing. I mean, you need to raise the question over and over again to make something happen. Nobody expects that it would happen tomorrow. It's going to need a long push for make it happen. And I think it's a good way always to take example of how the Turkish regime is using the labeling for their own purpose. So last night we saw a flight raid from the Kurdish regime in both Syria and Iraq. And they say this is because we think they are terrorists. So the peace doesn't come to Syria or to Middle East because of a Turkish regime using this argument. And if the Western countries in Europe, if USA and other countries stop labeling PKK as a terrorist, as a part of a conflict, that means that also it's able both to have peace negotiations, but also to more strongly condemn the attacks from Turkey against the PKK, and I think that's very important to see them in that sense, and see that that would be lead to stability also in the whole of the Middle East.
Exactly. Thank you very much for that. And lastly, Håkan, as a Swedish MP on the 36th anniversary of the terrible assassination of Olof Palme in Stockholm in February 1986, what would be your message to the Kurdish people and the Kurdish movement about the way in which the assassination of Olof Palme was used to criminalize for so many years the Kurdish people's struggle for freedom and basic rights in Turkey?
I think you should try to remember Olof Palme as the political leader he was, that stand up for the weak, both in Sweden and abroad. And I think that you should think of what the history in Sweden with the PKK track as a black hole that we doesn't want. We shouldn't forget about it, but we shouldn't see it as the Swedish policy, and that Sweden could be a more long-standing, strong friend to the Kurdish people. And we have a network between a multi-party network in the parliament that works fine together. We cooperate with the Liberal Party to stop the arms exports to Turkey in 2019 when they attack Afrin. And those sort of things politicians can do. And we can do it when it is a push from the Kurds outside the parliament. And therefore, I think that the Kurdish movement is strong in their goals to reach peace in the Middle East.
So, thank you. So, the message is to keep on struggling both outside and inside Parliament to reach the political goals. Håkan Svenneling, Member of Parliament for the Swedish Left Party, thank you so much for joining us today on the 36th anniversary of the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme to discuss with us the way in which the assassination was used politically to criminalize the PKK and the Kurdish movement in Europe. Good luck with your own efforts and work to delist the PKK from the list of proscribed organizations. And thank you once again, Håkan, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.